If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Jonah. As we, in a sense, last week was an introduction, so if you weren't here last week, it's okay. Because really, today we start to tackle the verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can start finding Jonah. One of the easiest ways is from Psalms, which is in the middle of the Bible. In the Old Testament, start working your way towards the New Testament. You'll run into big prophets, major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then you'll hit the minor ones like, well, not Daniel. Daniel's one of the major ones, but then Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and then Jonah. If you don't have a Bible, look at your bulletins or look up as we read from God's Word in Jonah chapter 1. Now the Word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo from the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and he had lain down and fell asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Jonah chapter 1 through 6, we see Jonah beginning his run from God. Why would someone who professes to know Jesus Christ run from him? We know in Scripture that this is, we know from Scripture that this can absolutely be the case. Peter being one, disciples as a whole being another. Adam and Eve from the very beginning. Men like Moses and David, Elijah running to a cave, all to run from God. What are these things that cause us to do so? Maybe you're here today and really you would say, "My heart is running from God." I really hope this message speaks to you this morning. That the Spirit of God through His Word would absolutely penetrate your heart this morning. So what is it? What causes us to run from God? Anger? About a circumstance that's going on in your life? Maybe a loss of a child. Maybe a loss of a friend, a loved one, a spouse. Just at a funeral yesterday for a man who didn't even live to be 40 years old. I'm 40. Makes you think. Are you angry this morning at God? Maybe you're in despair. Literally means you have no hope. There's no love. There's no help. There's no one. You're all alone. At least that's what you think. Maybe you're here, you're running from God because you feel like you're all alone. Maybe some of you are disappointed. You thought something was supposed to go the way you thought it was going to go, and it got flipped upside down, and so you are just disappointed in God. I mean, this was God's plan for me. Doesn't He know that? And so you're disappointed. Maybe some of you are running from God because you're in absolute disobedience. You know what you're doing is wrong, but you continue to choose to do it. And so you run. All these are responses that lead you away from Jesus, not toward Him. You're on the run. I truly believe in this passage of Scripture, in Jonah chapter 1, 1 through 6, we get an opportunity to learn from the example of Jonah. I want to encourage you, because there may be a day, maybe right now you are excited and walking with Jesus and you're just on fire, and I say, praise God. But possibly there is a day that'll come. Maybe anger, despair, disappointment, disobedience, whatever it's going to take, and you're going to start running. I want you to think about Jonah chapter 1 with me. And I want you to leave here with encouragement that God desires to find you. I think there are three things. I'm going to just start pulling them out right now. Three things that we can be encouraged by, so that we won't be on the run. The first thing is that we can respond correctly to God's word. If you don't want to be on the run from God, you can respond to God's word. We see that Jonah did not. Look at verse 1 with me again. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it because of its evil. And it has come before God. But Jonah rose and fled to Tarshish. Listen, when circumstances happen in your life, if you don't want to be on the run, respond to what God is telling you. We can respond to God's word, or we can act like Jonah and run. See, Jonah responded to God's word when he liked what God had to say. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, we learned last week that when God spoke to Jonah and told him to tell the king Jeroboam that the northern kingdom would have more land, Jonah absolutely shared that message from the Lord because it was positive. It was good news. He surely wasn't going to get in trouble from the evil king Jeroboam. He liked what God had to say. What happens when you don't like what God has to say? Well, Jonah chose to not respond to God's word. And so he's on the run. I want to encourage you. Respond to God's word. When someone shares a verse with you, when you need the encouragement because of something's going on in your life, maybe it's as a result of sin, respond to God's word. Jonah received the word of God. I don't know if God spoke to him verbally or how God spoke to Jonah, but God spoke to Jonah and he did not listen. We can respond to God's word. Every time you pick up a copy of God's word, God gives us the chance to respond to Him. And by the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scriptures to those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ, He will absolutely bring you to the Scriptures and the words of God. How will you respond? I'm encouraging you, respond to what it says. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 with me. Here's what God's word aims to do. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And, listen to this, is discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's why we read God's word. It points us to Jesus Christ. It gives us a bigger vision of Jesus in our lives, because right now sin has a bigger vision in our lives. God's saying, respond to what my word says and you will not be on the run. Look at Psalm 119:105 with me. God says that your word is a lamp. David says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Is that true? When you pick up this word in the morning, is it true? Is God really speaking to you? Or is it just like the USA Today? Is it truly God's word? Because if it is, you should want that divine appointment so that you can respond for the day, or you will be on the run. Psalm 119, verse 162, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Your word is like a great treasure, and I will rejoice. Is this a treasure? Is it a treasure? Because God desires for you to respond to it, or you'll be on the run, like Jonah. In our small groups, in my small group that I lead, I will, on time to time, go through about 30 verses in the Bible, and there are more, trust me. You could read Psalm 119 and learn all about the joys of God's word. But you can absolutely find verses where God describes his very words and the power that they have. Like Jeremiah 23, is not my word like a hammer? Like a fire that consumes? We go through these verses to begin every one of my small groups at the beginning of the year, and then sometimes even throughout the year. But just to remind us the power of God's word and our desire to respond to it. Me and Laura, after each one of those times, we'll end up either driving home and we'll talk to each other. It's like, man, I'm so excited to read God's word tomorrow. I cannot wait to read God's word tomorrow. Because there's such power in his word. Listen, if you're on the run, read God's word and respond to it. The second thing that I see, not only to encourage us, is that we need to read God's word and respond to God's word, but we need to think rationally. If we do not think rationally, and what I mean by rationally, I just wanted to keep the R's going, so let me just explain this a little bit. What I'm really saying here is that you need to think biblically and theologically, or you will be on the run. Listen to Jonah in verses 3, and really the second part of verse 3, which says, but Jonah rose to flee from Tarshish. Why? From the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, got on a boat. Why? Because he wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. Listen, we need to think rationally. Jonah thought he could leave the presence of the Lord. The word presence there literally means face to face. So in other words, Jonah thought he could just get away from any contact with God. That is completely irrational thinking. And Jonah knows that. Look at Psalm 90, verse 8 with me. It says, you have set our wrongdoing before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your face. Psalm 139 says, Lord, you have examined me, and you know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I even think them. You know where I go and where I lie down. You know everything that I do. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. You are all around me. In front of me, in back of me. You have put your hand on me. Your knowledge is amazing. It is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? It's a rhetorical question. Or where shall I flee from your presence? You cannot run from God. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you must think rationally when circumstances come in your life or when sin is crouching. You might think, duh, Greg, of course I can't run from the presence of God. Oh, really? Every day, think about it. You get in your car, God's not there. He won't care when you give that guy the bird because he cut you off. I mean, he's not actually in the car with you because you're driving so fast, right? No, that's me. I got a lead foot, I'm telling you. Or when you go in your basement to watch that movie that you know you shouldn't watch. Or you go into that office where the computer's at and close the door because you know that you don't want anybody to see what you're doing. Yeah, we don't think that we can get out of God's presence, right? Listen, I want to encourage you. Think rationally. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, He knows. He knows. And He desires to walk you through every single circumstance you're going through. You cannot run from God. Why Tarshish? Why did Jonah think he could go to Tarshish? I want to show you a map. Okay? Tarshish is, as you see, in the far left-hand corner. Okay? Joppa, obviously in the Israel Northern Kingdom area of Israel. Nineveh, just a hop, skip, and a jump. Jonah chose to go in the absolute opposite direction of God. He got as far away from God as he could, and that's exactly what we do when we don't think rationally. If I could just get far enough away from God, he won't see me. Or, even better, he'll make someone else do it. I want to encourage you. If you don't want to be on the run from God, we think biblically and we think theologically. It's reason we do discipleship around here. It's not a matter of just seeing people be saved. We want to see people mature in Christ. That's why we have a pastor of teaching. We have theology programs. We have all these different things to build your knowledge around good biblical thinking. Because I can promise you there are days in my life and there will be days in your life when we won't think rationally. And we need God's word to correct us. Our desire is for us to grow, to think biblically, to think theologically, and not be on the run. I know why we avoid people. We run to our Tarshish. Proverbs 18:1 says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desires. Hebrews 4:13 says this, and no creature is hidden from his sight. All are naked and exposed in the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Listen, we don't like to be exposed when we're in deep in sin. But listen, think rationally. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. God desires for you to think rationally so that he can work you through circumstances so you can be a Bible that someone else is reading. To the unbeliever, they wonder what's different about you. To the other followers of Christ, they see an example to follow as they imitate you, as you imitate Christ. God desires for us to grow and think biblically and theologically when circumstances aren't ideal. The last point that I see here. You don't want to be on the run from God. You need to respond to His Word. You need to think biblically, and we need to rise up. We need to get to God's work, or we'll be on the run. Look at Jonah verses 5 and 6 with me. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship to sleep. He fell into a deep sleep. And the captain came in and said, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise! Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that he may not perish." Listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to know that our mission is for God. Where you work is a mission field for God. Your family is a mission field for God. Your coworkers, your friends, your family, everyone you are associated with is a mission from God to both grow you and to share His gospel to others who don't know Him. Listen, I was never more excited to go to Wells Fargo than when I was walking with Jesus. I couldn't wait to get to Wells Fargo. And I'm telling you, it's not that great of a place. I worked there for like 5 years. I could tell you some things. But listen. When I was on fire for Jesus, when I decided to use that as my mission field, yes, I worked for Wells Fargo. Yes, I submitted to my boss. But I was there for more than just money. I was there for more than just a paycheck. I was there for people like Jay and Kelly. I was there to share the gospel with people when God gave me the opportunity. God is telling us if we don't rise up and listen to what God's call is and our mission is that we will go to the bottom of the ship and we won't be doing what God has called us to do. I started doing a Bible study with this young lady at Wells Fargo and her boyfriend. And during the study, by God's grace, both of them came to a saving knowledge of Christ on separate occasions. These two were so on fire for Jesus. Bible studies, I mean, they were just always around for fellowship. I mean, if we had something going on, they were there. They were just so excited to be around people that knew Jesus. Remember that day? Remember those days? Yeah, I remember those days. Something happened. Circumstances. I won't tell you all the details. All of a sudden, this young lady was on the run. I literally can remember me and my wife trying to text her for at least 6 months. Phone calls and texts, just, "How you doing?" Wouldn't respond, never heard from her again. No idea where she even lived. She had moved. So we just prayed and began to pray. God to get a hold of her. She called me about a year later, and said, I want to meet with you. I couldn't believe it. Me and my wife were just shocked. It's like, oh my goodness, Praise the Lord. What are you doing? I just couldn't wait to meet with her and find out where the heck has she been. She sat down with me. And she began to list out all the things that she had been doing. Got back into drugs. Got back into just sexual sin. And just a downward spiral to back to where she was before Christ, yet was in Christ. She sat and she took to me and she just was just crying and crying. And she cried out and she said, I am so tired. Listen, when you're on the run from God, you get tired. Are some of you tired? All that running makes you tired. Leads to depression. Leads to wanting to be alone. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to get to God's work. The reason we start to think inwardly, we start to get selfish, we start to say, it's about me, and all of a sudden, we start to go to the bottom of the ship and hide from God and get really tired. We get tired of seeing people, hanging out with people, tired of small group. We get tired of church. We just are tired because we're on the run. We've forgotten God's mission. See, Jonah forgot the mission. The mission of Israel was to be an example to the lost nations, the Gentiles. Jonah forgot his mission. And so he was on the run. Listen, Jesus is telling us to rise up and get to God's work. And you will not be on the run anymore. Jonah had it all wrong. He was on the run. But he's showing us, isn't he? Jonah's showing us how we should do it. Jonah is giving us an example of what we shouldn't do. We need to respond to God's word, even when we don't like it. We need to learn from Jonah's example. By the power of the Holy Spirit that is in true followers of Jesus Christ, we turn to Him. We rely on His strength in the worst of circumstances. Respond to God's word. Think rationally, biblically. Rise up to God's work. And listen, I have an overarching theme to what is going to be the answer if you would say you're on the run. It's an important word. And by God's grace, it even starts with R. We need to repent. Listen, when I'm on the run, the hardest thing to do is acknowledge that I'm wrong. The hardest thing to acknowledge when I'm going the wrong direction is to admit that I was looking at the wrong map. Trust me, I'm a prideful individual. You tell me I'm lost, I'll prove you a way to get there the way I'm going. Right, guys? Some of you ladies, backseat drivers, come on. God has given us this amazing thing called repentance. And His desire is to grant it to you. As you humble yourselves, He will grant you repentance. He will grant it to you. And restore the joy of your salvation. You know that salvation thing, that gospel thing? that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ thing that saved you from your sins and the wrath of God and sparks joy in the believer's heart? That's what he desires to do when you repent. Restore, as David said in Psalm 51, restore in me the joy of my salvation. Repentance does that. If you are on the run and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, repent and turn to God, and you won't be on the run anymore. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never placed your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the wrath of God to be removed from you, the answer is, you ready? Repent. Turn from your idols and turn to God. Turn from whatever you think is getting you to heaven, your baptisms, your communions, your going to churches, your works, whatever it is. Repent of that attitude and turn to Jesus and tell him that you are thankful that he died for your sins. Thankful that he was the substitute for your sins. And turn to him. You want to run? Run to him. And he has open arms. There is none he will turn away. You have not sinned so much that God cannot forgive you. Trust me, you're all JV compared to what I've done. There isn't a sin he will not forgive but unbelief. The sin he will not forgive is your unbelief in his plan of salvation. Will you repent today? Listen, Jonah gives us an example of how not to be on the run. How many of you don't want to be on the run? It's a rhetorical question. We need to respond to God's word. Isn't that great? God gave us his word. Let's respond to it. Let's just be encouraged to read his word tomorrow morning or this afternoon. Whenever you pick up God's word, know that it is a divine appointment with the holy God. He wants to talk to you. You shut up first and let him talk to you. Then we'll work on the prayers thing. Instead of telling him what you need, let him tell him what you need. Let him tell you what you need. We need to start thinking biblically. And I want to encourage you. We have adult Sunday school. We have theology programs. We want to see you grow in your knowledge of the Bible. Okay? It is not for seminary professors. Listen, he used Peter. He's using a C student at best to preach to you right now. God desires for you to grow in your knowledge of the Bible. So start thinking biblically when the circumstances arise. And then finally, we need to get to work. Get to God's mission wherever he has you. You do these things, I want to encourage you, you will not be on the run. You will be doing what God has called you to do. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, as we begin our series in Jonah, you have given us a great example. A great example in someone who was on the run. Lord, help us to be encouraged by this passage. Help us to see your desire for us on our walk with you. May we truly leave here with hearts that are joyed, knowing, God, that you want to use us. And then for those who don't know you, may today be the day of their salvation, truly repenting of their sins for the first time. May you get all the glory, Jesus, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.